What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilly, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. We'll get back to all your phone calls, but it is Wednesday. That means it's a Whiteout Wednesday with Jason Avant, sponsored by Walnut Street Smiles and Chestnut Studio, Dental Studio, part of the Dudat Dental Group, official dentist of the Philadelphia Eagles. Jason, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good under the circumstances.
Yeah, the circumstances are not great.
Not great at all.
I was hoping when you got in here this week, we're getting ready for the Eagles and the Bears, which would have been a fun game, but instead...
You know who is happy?
Who's that?
Not the Bears. The Bears are sad that the Eagles lost.
Yeah, they got to face the Rams now.
Literally. You know, my family's from Chicago.
They wanted the Eagles.
They called me pissed off.
They thought they were going to beat the brakes off us, huh? Bring forth the sacrificial lamb.
That offense, we want that one. All right, Jason, we'll get into a lot this hour. Obviously, the Eagles made a big change yesterday with Petullo out. But what struck you from the game on Sunday? I mean, it was a frustrating watch, as so many Eagles games were this year. The creativity the 49ers had, their execution on offense got me. And, man, I thought the Eagles had chances in that last drive. They moved the ball right down the field, had a chance, didn't do it. What hit you on Sunday watching it?
It was a lot, but the effort was the key. So, for me, that was the biggest takeaway for me from the game. And watch every play multiple times. It took me 2 days just to get through all the film because I wanted to go back and make sure that I was sure about what I was going to say and what I was seeing. Mm-hmm. But the effort level for the playoffs. Playoff is a time where, you know, there's no tomorrow. There's an extra effort. Some of those plays on the backside as a defensive end, you're like, hey, I may not run to that. It's week 7, you know, somebody has that, you know. But in the playoffs, everyone is giving max effort. And that's not what you saw. The first play of the game when it came to A.J. Brown going to dig out a safety, he stopped Saquon for a 20-yard run, just not having effort for it. And that was consistent throughout the game. And after the play, he looks back at the quarterback and starts pouting a little bit about the play. And it was his fault. It was just an alignment thing for him. And multiple run plays that happened, literally the receiver, mainly AJ, but Devontae's effort began to wane as well. Mm. So I was like, dude, this is starting to become an infection. And that mentality carried over to the passing concepts. Because when you don't have that dog in you to fight for a playoff, you know, position next week and continue your season, it's what are you playing for at that moment? And just think about in that game. I saw Brock Purdy diving head first for a first down. Mm. Did I see Jalen do that?
I didn't.
Not one time. I saw him slide. No one had the urgency that it was no tomorrow. We would have thought that game was a regular week 5 in the NFL. No, we didn't match their tenacity, their tenaciousness.
I mean, Hugh, that's eye-opening
that's
to hear like
that.
That's
an indictment.
Yeah, it is an indictment.
When you put it on.
I saw some of the clips you posted on Instagram.
When you put it on,
AJ one you referenced. I mean, he didn't try. He just didn't try.
And you can see it because they had Darius Cooper in the game. Because Darius Cooper in the ball game, they had a package for him and it was working. A lot of things that he did was working. When it was his time to go up to the safety, when it was his time to be the lead blocker, the play worked. Mm. You put AJ in that situation, it doesn't.
All right, so we're on this, so let's go here. Do you think Sunday, and I know, you know, Howie's got a lot of scissors to make and cap and all that, but just big picture, do you think the Eagles should consider moving on from AJ Brown? I mean, I know he's still a big talent and he's got 1,000 yards. But I just add this whole season together, Jason, from his attitude, from his approach, from what you're talking about. I do think physically he has slipped a little bit from where he was a couple years ago. I don't think he's as explosive. I would look to trade him this offseason. Would you?
AJ's problem is in between his ears. I don't think that he's falling off the earth physically as much as, you know, some would think. He has a problem of looking at everything else around him and not what his job is. Mm-hmm. The job of being a team captain, the job of being a team leader, the job of showing up when your number is called, he's forgotten about that part of it. Maybe he's counting stats or counting what the offensive coordinator is doing or what the quarterback is not doing, and he's not internalizing and focusing on himself. So this is my thing. Growing up, if anybody's grown up with a person with any type of an addiction or any type of habit, the emotionally dysregulated or the dysfunctional person kind of sets the tempo of the whole house.
Sure. Mm.
Oh, dad is home. He's been drinking a little bit, so let's everyone avoid him. Now you are not free and comfortable in your own home because of this person. Mm. Same way with the kid that has temper tantrums and begins to control the parents, right? Because of their emotional makeup and need.
It kind of sucks the emotional oxygen out of the room.
Out of the room. Yeah. And what does it do? It teaches the other kids to get what they want by acting like
out.
That.
Yeah, that's great.
That's a problem. I mean, to me, that's a problem.
And that's what I'm starting to see, because I have never watched a game where I questioned Devontae Smith's effort when it came to run blocking. This game, I did at times. Mm. And I've never seen that.
That's
right. So what I'm saying is that this is behavior patterns that's stemming from AJ. And now as a coach, when you put yourself in front of the team and you're allowing this person that's dysfunctional to get away with things that nobody else is able to get away with, you lose credibility and respect each and every time.
Yeah. But my question to you is this. Okay, without a name, what do you think needs to happen as far as the office? What kind of offensive coordinator do you think we need for this football team? Do we need one that caters to Jalen, or one that's going to get the most out of this offense as a collective?
Here's the thing. Like, if you're going to fire Kevin Petullo, and Kevin Petullo is not the only problem. Everyone's celebrating, Kevin Petullo.
Well, it's a head on the stick. Sacrificial lamb, yeah.
This game wasn't a Kevin Petullo thing. And that's the honest truth. The last call was a Kevin Petullo thing. But pretty much in that game, every single play, there was somebody to throw the ball to. On pretty much every single run play, if it was blocked correctly, it would have had yards. This was a player's game. The players did not execute in this ball game. So if you're going to make this about Kevin Petullo being fired and it's about Jalen now, because that's what this message says, Jalen, this is your team. This is about you, and we're going to cater to you. You got to get someone that's not going to ruffle his feathers too much. Let him do what he wants to do. Because this is this precedent that you're setting, right? Because now you have to go with someone that kind of knows him, a Brian Daboll, right? A Frank Wright that kind of know his makeup through a friend from Nick Sirianni, right? Someone like that that's not going to change it. But if you're asking us to come in and, do a guy like Clay Kubiak or Zach Robinson, like these guys that Mike McDaniels, like you have to become so much better reading the game and throwing over the middle and trusting it with confidence and controlling motions and having guys in funky situations. And is Jalen willing to do that? I don't know.
My question to you is this. Okay, you talk about bad behavior. Now, we've all heard speculation that and especially in the press conference where Jalen was noncommittal when they asked him about Kevin Petullo. Isn't that kind of, in essence, rewarding bad behavior? Like, if Jalen really was on the podium trying to get Kevin Petullo out of here and they got him out of here, now you get his guy. Isn't that kind of, in a sense, rewarding bad behavior?
Well, Jalen has had multiple opportunities, whether it's a couple off season ago when he had a chance to say, Nick Sirianni, I may not, always agree on everything, but that's my coach. I wouldn't want to play for anybody else. That's the high road that you always take as a player. The high road would have been saying, it's not all Kevin Petullo. Some of it's me, some of it's this, some of it's that. Mm-hmm. And we'll evaluate that at the end of the season. But I believe that he's a good coach and that he can coach here. And you have your own personal conversations with the coach after, with the management. I'd say, hey, man, get him out of here, whatever it is. But there's a certain way to handle that. I don't think he handled it well. But yes. Yeah. Did I avoid your question a little bit? Yeah
you did. You did. I mean, it's cool. I mean, we're good. I got that.
I get it. So I want to ask you this. So you mentioned there, Jason, that there was a play where Brock Purdy dove for a first down, right? And we didn't see Jalen do that on Sunday.
No.
Brock Purdy also outrushed Jalen Hurts in the game. Jalen Hurts had 14 yards rushing. So as we're going to get into this conversation we're having with our audience about what the next scheme should be, what the next coordinator should be, right? Like, what should it be? And a lot of people say, well, you gotta do it to Jalen's strengths. I ask you, watching him for an entire season, watching him in this game, do you still think he is an impact runner? And there's two parts to that. One, is he willing to be? And then two, physically, is he? Because Jason, I don't know what's going to happen the rest of his career. I have no idea. I know this. If you add up college and the NFL, he has run the ball almost 1,500 times. So I am wondering, physically, how much more is in that in those legs? And then with that, how they build the next offense. Is his legs a big part of it, or is that going to start to wane more and more?
Well, yeah. So it would be foolish not to use his legs, right? Because that's a part of Jalen's game at his highest level,
yep.
is being able to use his legs, right? The leading rusher in the Super Bowl and Saquon's not getting yards and all those types of things, right? So I believe that Jalen should be looking to use his legs at times. And I think it's, I think it's a mentality. Mm. There's this threshold that, you know, we've won a Super Bowl and I shouldn't be required to do certain things anymore. It's sort of like graduating from special teams where guys are like, man, you know, I don't have
to play special teams no more.
it's like I'm above that.
Yeah.
And I think there's a sense of that with this team and maybe even Jalen Hurts, because there's times in the ball game, especially in this game, even on the last play, just think about this. The last play call was horrible. It was the worst call you can call in that situation. It was basically all go special. Oh, not special, but all go. All right, so bad call. Why throw it three people covered? No one's pressing you. You can make a move in the pocket right. and try to extend the play. How many times did he try to extend the play?
Not often.
Not much. He rolls out of the pocket to the right, and he throws the ball out of bounds.
Which, that play is going to haunt me the entire offseason. You have three downs left in your season. I can't throw one out of bounds.
It's that like I said, that mentality. Like I said, I think that the team was infected before this particular game, that they didn't believe the way that they should have and fought like they should have. And you got to question it, man. That I saw guys that like quit out there. That's what I saw. Today.
Well, it's indicting, but it feels accurate based on, I think a lot of people felt the same thing. All right, 215-592-9495. Let's go to the phone lines here. And then I want to throw at you some concepts on the next coordinator and what we think is best for Jalen and the offense moving forward. Jack in Norristown is up. Hey, Jack.
Hey, how we doing, guys?
Hey, Jack. What's up, buddy?
I blame a lot of the stuff this year on Sirianni, and Kevin Petula was not ready for the job. We learned that after 6 or 7 years, games, I mean. Jalen's going to be our quarterback for the next 5, 6 years, and we could do a lot worse. We got to get a coordinator, either an old head or a young guy, some hot shot out of college, that come up with something new. But there's a lot of problems. And you can't tell me that A.J. Brown, with his problems, he put a lot of tension on Jalen, too. So,
well, and then he didn't play great on Sunday. I mean, as Jason just alluded to, and he dropped passes. I mean, it was a bad A.J. game when you add it together.
The guy didn't play great a lot of times all year long.
I agree.
He doesn't get it that there's no I in team. He don't get that. He's the only guy that they win the Super Bowl, and after the Super Bowl, he's whining that he only caught 6 passes.
I mean, Jack, it caught all our attention. It bothered me then. I mean, I know. I mean, it kind of set the tone for the season. Like that, I mean, Hugh, we spent a lot of time on that Instagram post after the Super Bowl. It did kind of, you kind of play it out. I mean, were we really surprised it played out like this?
Yeah, it was kind of odd for him to say it the way that he said
it. Of course it was.
We went the whole offseason trying to figure out what he actually meant. I gave him kind of credit for saying it because I was trying to pick it apart to try to feel what he was feeling. But to answer your question, yeah, it did kind of set the tone.
Yeah, it did. All right, Jack, we appreciate the phone call. All right, go ahead, Jason.
There are certain things that if you're going to be that person, you got to produce.
Yeah, you can't.
I'm talking about all the time.
Right.
If you're going to be that person, you got to T.O. produce. You know what I mean? If you want to be that. And the post that he didn't drop it, but he ran away from contact. And I can say that knowing the receiver. Like, I can say that.
You're talking about the final drive.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because there were three balls that it felt like he could have caught. One was a deep shot, and I don't know if the wind killed it. Maybe it died.
That wasn't a final drive.
Right.
That wasn't a final drive.
I was trying to figure out which one you were talking about.
No, no, not the final drive.
Okay.
But there was a drive later in that game. I want to say it was at the he had three straight plays. I want to say it was in the second quarter. He had a post in cover four. Everyone wants a post in cover four. He run the post. Jalen could have thrown a better ball. Give you that. Could have thrown away a better ball.
Yep.
And it was closer to the safety. And instead of going right to the ball, he looked over and straightened up. that's a sign that you are afraid of the safety.
Okay, I think that was the first one. Then there was one by the sideline, right?
The one by the sideline, he just lost at the line of scrimmage.
And then the last one was the last drive of the game.
Yeah,
it was a bad day. All right, let's unpack, and we're going to go back to the final play, because I don't want your thoughts, and I want to hear what you said, hear what Nick Foles said. I want you to respond to him. But a lot on the final play coming up. But let's go back. Let's go to the offensive coordinator search and what they got to do here. I want to play this for you. This was Jaws on the morning show, and they were talking about different kinds of offenses, right? Different coordinators from different places coming in. Here's how Jaws reacted to the idea of a certain type of offense and how Jalen might handle it. Here's Jaws.
So, Jaws, if they try to reinvent the offense, and I mean a new coordinator says we're going with different concepts, do you think Jalen would effectively run, for instance, West Coast concepts or whatever, other stuff? Do you think it would work or not?
No. I'm going to speak personally on this because, you know, hey, I played 17 years. I played with a lot of different systems. It's like learning a new language when you try to go to a new system. You know, John can speak as well. He played in other systems. It's hard. You know, you get to a point where Jalen's been in this system now, you know, 5 years. He knows exactly what to do every single play, what his responsibility is, what everyone's responsibility is. To change that and go to a new style of offense, I think it's a big change. It's not like, hey, oh, let's just start calling, you know, plays this way. Let's start running this way. Let's start doing the reads this way. It is hard to, number one, wipe out the old way of doing things, and number two, learning a new way of doing things. It is very, very, very difficult.
All right, so Joe asked the question using the West Coast as kind of the backdrop. Let me use the Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan kind of offense, because that's the new one, and it's some of the names you mentioned are like assistants to the Kubiak guy. Is that where they should go, or is Jaws right? Like, it would be square peg, round hole.
Well, so let's get something straight. The thing that I disagree with Jaws in this sense, everyone runs the same plays in the NFL. So all the offenses are kind of like amalgamated. They're kind of mixed together, right? So there's a so Jalen has run plays off pass play action that's similar to what San Francisco does.
Sure.
It does, you know, he does that each week. It's about the terminology. The terminology changes, the motion changes, the responsibility changes, and the way you view the game changes. And that's what Jaws is basically saying. So do I think we should go to a Sean McVay style Kyle? I don't think so. I think they ask too much of the quarterback. I said this last week. They basically play the game in between the numbers.
And Purdy made a lot of throws in between the numbers Sunday. Big ones.
In between the numbers. And you have to know for sure what the defense is doing. You can't be wrong. And if you are wrong, you get two interceptions in the game.
Yeah.
You know, so, and so with that being said, I don't think that that's in Jalen's wheelhouse. I think Jalen has a way of going about it. Okay, this is my read over here, but I have something backside that I can go away from the read in order to protect myself.
So I agree with you, and I agree. And Hugh was saying something similar to start the show about terminology, plays.
Because I always thought that it was more terminology than anything, because everybody's running the same concept.
So with that, should the Eagles be looking for the right system for Jalen Hurts, or should they be looking for the best offensive mind? And if Jalen molds himself into that, great. If not, they got to get a new quarterback. Like, this feels to me like a little bit of a pivot point for the franchise.
No, I think they should get the best person for Jalen with the most experience, because the person with the most experience will have the ability to go in and out of different styles, right? So it's not just this particular way.
Right.
It's a guy that has learned over the years to be adaptable. That's why I think Brian Daboll is a good hire, because you've had Jalen, you understand him at Alabama, you've had Josh Allen, you know what Tom Brady is like.
Daniel Jones was a mobile quarterback.
You have a bunch of these particular guys, and you've caused them to be productive, right? So I think that's the answer. And someone is going to challenge him.
And he would.
I think that the most important thing. But let me get this straight. I'm going to try to ask this in a way where it people can digest what I'm asking. So basically what you're saying is we need to run an offense that's easy for the quarterback to process all of the information he needs to process and be relatable.
Yeah.
Because basically – So
I think that's the skill set of Jalen. I think Jalen is more comfortable with things being stagnant. This is not just something that I'm just thinking.
No,
this,
that's what I'm at.
This is something that I know.
I know you do.
I know this, right? So this is more of him liking certain things, but you need a guy that understands what he likes, how to sequence it better. Right, that's the problem. What Jalen talked about, the sequence.
Yeah, you're talking about like chess match, like you setting up different moves.
Yeah,
and stuff.
When plays are called and that type of thing. So yes, are they going to get someone that's going to help Jalen?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So my other question would be this. Okay, so you're basically saying we're going to run an offense that keeps Jalen comfortable, but with that being said, Jason, how do you get him to grow?
Evolve.
Yeah. Thank you.
You.
How do you do that?
You get someone that's going to implement the new things in a way that you see his progression, right? And a guy that has the respect. Part of this is Kevin Petullo first time, mm-hmm. is that the respect factor isn't there.
Yeah.
When you have a certain guy and you can say, hey, you know what? I had Tom Brady, or I had Daniel Jones, or I had Andrew Luck, or I had this person.
Pedigree.
There is something that perks your ear up a little bit more from the quarterback position. Okay, this guy may know what he's talking about. And then it's kind of confirmed with the way that he thinks and when it's successful in the game.
Would you have any concern? Dable has some hothead to him.
Yeah.
Sirianni's got some hothead to him. That feels a lot of combustible parts on the sidelines. Would that concern you?
Can it be more combustible than what we've had?
Maybe not. Right. Throw a big dog in there.
Can't get no worse.
Yeah, you might be right. All right.
I don't know. I don't know. And maybe with Jalen's demeanor, I think that he probably can. I think with Jalen's demeanor, it probably would be okay because the way that
he's even keeled. Yeah,
he's the one that's kind of even keeled.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to Bruce in D.C. What's up, Bruce?
Bruce
at work? Bruce?
I'm here.
We know you are. Bruce, what's up, pal?
sorry about that. Yeah, so, that's the whole thing about Jalen. You know, I got several points on this whole situation. First of all, I love your suggestions for OC except for number three. I don't want anything from Cleveland, so I'll do that right.
Out on Stefanski. No Cleveland trash.
Hold on, who'd you say, Joe?
So the five names I had number one was Mike McDaniel.
Okay.
Number two was Todd Monken. I want to get your thoughts on him. We'll expound on that. Three, I had Stefanski. Four, I had Kingsbury. Five, I had Nate Shieldhouse from the Rams.
From the pass game.
Then Dable was kind of my wild card, but I worry about the combustibility of Dable and Sirianni, and he just feels. But I understand your point on his pedigree and what he's done. Go ahead, Bruce.
Agree. So here's the thing about Jalen. So yeah, I mean, one of the best things they could have done. I never agree with the hire.
What you doing, man? Phone in the water.
The way they handled this situation, but anyway, that's neither here nor there. But Jalen is part of the issue. And there's two things going on here. Jalen and Sirianni. I'm not going to get into Sirianni. I think he just gets one more year because he's a bobblehead. Sirianni's a bobblehead simply because of the fact that he rode his ACs, his OCs and DCs to success when they had good years. He does not have a strategic bone in his body. He does not have the ability to address problems to synchronize the team and go in the direction that they go in. They're terrible at, they mismanage the use of Tank, Bixby, in situations like that, and he just does not have it. But if we get a good OC, he will be buoyed. But here's the thing about Jalen, though. My thing is that Jalen, I think it's inexcusable after 5 years that he doesn't know how to throw a wide receiver open. If they're not getting space, he doesn't know how to do timing routes. He doesn't know, he doesn't throw screens very well. These are basic things. So this is the kind of thing. And so Jalen, if you take away his running, he's very limited in the kind of pass routes that he has to throw.
Well, Bruce, I think he needs his legs. I mean, I think it was a big detriment down the stretch of the season that for whatever reason he wasn't using them. All right, Jason's here with us for another segment. Well, get your phone calls up. You want to talk to Jason, ask him a question. Some calls in, plus An observation Nick Foles had about the final play on the game side. Let's go through that final sequence. Jason's thoughts on the final four plays of the Eagles season, including fourth down. What could have been different? What should have been different? Nick Foles' take and more on the coordinators. And I want to get Jason's thoughts on Todd Monken, who I think is a good option here. 215-592-949 for Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, joining us for the hour, as he does
on
Wednesdays.
Thinking about tomorrow.
Yeah, that's what we do around here. We're thinking about next. We're also stuck on Sunday.
It's a great song. This is a great summer song, man. It's like a summer song when I hear this.
Yeah, it's a great song. It is. Why Not Wednesday with Jason Avant. All right, Jason, we'll get back to the phone lines here. People have some questions and more to unpack on these potential coordinators to replace Kevin Petullo. But, Jason, let's go through the final four plays because I can't stop thinking about what happened that final sequence of the game. And before we get to fourth down, I want to play for you what Nick Foles said, his take on it, and get yours. But let's kind of go through the four plays there.
Okay.
All right, so first down, it ends up as Jalen tries to scramble, right? Tries to go through the middle of the line. I thought there was some space in the middle of the defense. If he got past the defensive line, he could have run. He got tripped up. Jason, first down, what did you see? What do you think Jalen was seeing as he took off?
Well, when Jalen went out, they had a smash concept, which they ran previously on the left side, but he had double slants. So here's the thing. The 49ers played the same coverage for the last 10 plays of the game.
Mm. So
did you hear me?
Yeah, the last 10 plays.
The last 10 plays of the game, they played cover four.
What does that tell you that they did that?
There's no elite quarterback in the NFL that you can play cover four without blitzing him. And he's elite.
So they weren't scared Jalen was going to pick him apart.
Make a play.
Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. They felt like they can confuse him with defense and that they can play their regular coverage is fine. That's kind of an indictment on Jalen Hurts right there. Cover four the entire time. Okay. So on that first play, he had a concept that worked before the Devontae Smith. It's like a little arrow concept. He caught the ball beforehand. That play, they shut it down. But on the play, they had two slants backside. That's made for cover four. So you had backside Jahan Dotson, who he could throw the ball to right away. You got to know, okay, I've completed this pass to Devontae or AJ a couple times in this drive. It's not going to be open consistently, but I have another answer on the backside. He didn't throw the backside slants one time, and they called it three times.
So it was there, and he didn't take it, and he ran.
He didn't take it.
All right, got tripped up. All right, second down. This is the one that's going to keep me up the entire offseason. So second down, as I watched it live, Tom Brady said he thought Jalen bailed what was a clean pocket. He rolled right, which is a big tendency of his, and he threw the ball out of bounds. Mm-hmm. What did you see there? I mean, it happened quick, but he bailed, and then it was just a wasted down.
Yeah, so he bailed out of the pocket on him. The pocket was clean. Again, they had double slants to the left side against cover four. Devontae's open this time, could bang him right there with the ball. You stay in the pocket, you get both stop routes, one deeper by AJ, one shallow in the slot by Jahan Dotson. Both of those guys were open.
Mm.
So you got three people open on one play and the ball goes out of bounds.
Yeah, can't happen. All right, third down, this is the play that obviously they needed to make and they didn't make. He throws. Now, when I saw that one, to me, they had two receivers on each side, right? Then Goddard went in motion. It became three on one side. That's how it went, right? Mm-hmm. And it ended up where Devontae came open middle of the field. Jalen saw it, threw it. Now, that one, how did you see it as a wide receiver? I've heard both sides of this. To me, the throw was high. Like, it just was a high throw. Devontae did get his hands on it. I mean, he leapt high to get his hands on it. How did you see it?
That's a missed throw, right? So here it is. So they basically have a short post, an angle short post for Devontae. Here's the thing that makes it worse, because this could have been a completion. They have AJ going through the middle of the field on the backside, but Jalen looks at Devontae from the snap. As soon as he catches it, he's looking left. That brings Malik Mustafa over to Devontae, which makes it even harder. He is just letting AJ run down the middle of the field. Not saying that AJ could have got the ball, but he's not even paying attention to AJ, right, who's supposed to be holding him. So that's a missed throw by Jalen Hurts. Can Devontae make a superhuman catch? Maybe, but that's a missed throw by, because it's there.
It had to be there. And if he catches that, that's first. They're first and goal in the nine.
Here's the thing. On all 10 of these plays, except for the last one, there is multiple answers that Jalen could have thrown the ball to.
All right. So, to me, it's indicting that they got to the 4th-and-11, but they got there. All right, Jason, let's let you hear what Nick Foles had to say. Nick Foles on his podcast, here is his perspective, quarterback perspective, on the 4th down, what they got to, what he wishes they would have done differently. Here's Nick.
From a quarterback's perspective, because that's what people want to hear, in these moments, these are big moments in games. These are season-defining moments. I guarantee you every single time I was in a season-defining, stressful moment, I had a play that I wanted called.
I can think of one in particular if you want to give an example.
Let's go to the examples. Like, okay, the Philly special is for sure that. Hey, then let's go the next year against the Chicago Bears in the playoff game on 4th-and-1. I went up to Doug. I wanted Q8 because we had the formation, right, kill 34W, boom, boom, boom. They were doing 0-0 hole. It was too hard to see. I said, I'm just calling Q8. We're going to live and die with Q8. We're going to go on the run. Golden's going to win. We're running Q8. In this moment, as a quarterback, you have plays. And as an offensive coordinator to head coach, you can suggest a play. But when you call a timeout and you're discussing everything on the sidelines, I'm asking my quarterback, what do you like right here? Here's the call sheet. Because that's what the coaches would do with me. When I was on teams where I was a leader and it was like a high-functioning offense and I was excelling, they'd be like, hey, what do you like? What do you want to call?
All right, so Jason, your thought on Nick's perspective on it, let's go through what happened on 4th down. So what do you think about Nick? So as people keep pointing out that final sequence, they took the timeout, they went over it. How does that work? Like, how do you think they got to that play?
That play, look, first of all, like I told you, they played the same coverage the entire time. They took a timeout, took a picture
of the coverage.
Of the coverage. And came out and ran all go out of 2x2. Guess what the worst call you can call?
Is 4 go.
Is 4 goes with 4 safeties.
That play.
Or not 4 safeties or 4 people with quarters coverage.
Right.
That's the only coverage that is bad against. It's out of all the coverages you can call. It's the only one that is bad against.
So how does that happen? So you have made me feel bad.
Again.
I know.
Cover three is a great play. Cover two, you can bend inside of the 2 safety that's widening. Cover one, you may have a 1-on-1 on the outside, or you can hit a seam. The only one that's bad is 4.
So you have Petullo. You have Petullo, Sirianni, Hurts. How does that conversation go? And doesn't someone say, I don't know about this call?
So. This is one of those things that I don't know. Like,
we're recklessly speculating.
I can't explain it. I can't explain it. The call was bad. It was awful. It was awful call. All right. So here's the thing. Nick is right in that I know every critical situation beforehand what the play is going to be. I don't have to guess. The Eagles ran a play. In the second quarter, it was a 3rd-and-14. They end up getting 13 yards, and they end up getting a tush push the next play. Mm-hmm. That play that they ran is called double dig lock. That's Andy Reid's 3rd-and-10 play forever. It's the 4th-and-26 that Freddie Mitchell caught.
Yeah, 4th-and-26.
Right? I have caught so many game-clinching plays off that particular play. They ran it, and it was successful. They ran it again in the third quarter. Jalen scrambled out of the pocket, but it was open. Why not go to double dig lock, who's been proven forever? And it's a great cover 4 beater.
That's the play. That's the play.
That's the play in that situation.
He didn't like it. Or somebody didn't like it.
But then even if that's the case, if I'm a smart quarterback, I hear all go, what the are you talking about? All right. I got it. All right. Rare, you know, whatever it is, double wing right, all go, double stops, or all search, right? That's the same concept as all go. Now you're giving guys opportunities to break in and off defenders. Right. You can change that. Cam Newton had the ability to change that. So if he has the ability to change it, I know Jalen Hurts had the ability to change it.
So everyone screwed up. I mean, all right, so now once the play starts.
That was an awful play.
Bad play call, as you detailed, terrible. What could Jalen have done, or was it done from the beginning? I mean, he ended up throwing to Goddard, and the linebacker jumped in Kendricks. It became 3 guys there. Did he have another option? Like, if you were Jalen, you're running the bad play. Did he make the most of the bad situation, or could he have gone somewhere else?
Well, I'm not running the play if I'm Jalen.
Right, but
without making an adjustment.
Right, like the ball is snapped. What do you think he should? Did he do the right thing in the moment?
No.
Okay.
No. So if the ball is snapped, and I have that play,
I'm not throwing it into cover four on a seam ball. I'm not doing it. Okay. What I'm going to do is play backyard football and make them tackle me before, as long as I can. I'm going to extend the play as long as I can and give myself a chance.
Right.
I'm not just going to throw a ball like it was open, just throw it on timing to Dallas Goedert. No, I'm going to hold that ball, make a play in the pocket. AJ, let's play ball, whatever it is. And then at the end of the day, if I trust AJ, he the one getting the ball.
Mm. It was him and Lenore in the corner of the end zone.
But it's still a horrible call.
Yeah, well, I think we all see that. Yeah,
it's horrible. Yeah.
Man, Hugh.
You made me feel worse.
I know.
I mean, that's
Petula,
I mean,
but might I'm, be out of here in that call alone. My goodness gracious. All right. 215-592-9494. Back to your phone calls. And then we'll unpack some of these candidates here, more candidates, and Jason's thoughts on them. Anthony in South Philly is up on WIP. Hey, Anthony.
Hi, Joe. How are you, buddy?
What's I've up, got, Anthony?
I got a couple of questions for Jason.
Sure, go for it.
Jay, first let me say, as far as I'm concerned, I've been following you since your podcast with Quentin Michael. You're the new Seth Joyner in this city because you say the truth. So it's a pleasure to talk to you. Now, I got two questions.
Two great analysts. We'll leave it at that. Go ahead, Anthony.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
If Sirianni were fired, would anybody hire him for one of these eight vacancies, number one? And number two, would this pass offense function better with Hurts or McKee at quarterback?
Well, so if Nick Sirianni is – yes. Will teams be clamoring for Nick Sirianni? I think so. I think they would. Yeah, with his Super Bowl – like, you can't deny that he's had organization, that he's had clock management, that he's had players play hard for multiple years. You can't deny his record. You can't. So people are going to give him a chance based on that.
Okay.
All right. Now, what was the second question?
Tanner. Would Tanner run the offense better?
Would our pass offense function better with Hurts and McKee at quarterback?
If you're seeing just the pass offense,
yes, that's
it's
all.
Such a small – like, I can't, in good faith, as a player, knowing the play – I've been tricked. I've been tricked by Charlie Weiss and Matt Flynn and a lot of
There's
them.
There's been a lot, yeah.
A lot of them that small have a sample, small sample. Yeah. And so the man started two games, and everyone is like, dude, put Tanner in there. We don't know. We know that he has a better throwing style, and his mechanics is better than Jalen Hurts. So is he a better thrower of the football than Jalen? Of course. Everyone sees that and knows that. But will he get the same results when it comes to wins and losses over a 16-game, 17-game season? I don't know.
We know. Anthony, good fun. The other thing is, when seeing him in his last game, he is immobile, or not very mobile, right? Like that plays a part.
That changes the dynamic of the offense.
Of course it does. All right, let's grab Justin in North Philly. Or Justin was there, and then he jumped off. Let's go to Chaz in Glendale. What's up, Chaz?
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
What's up, Chaz?
I wanted to talk about maybe the conformation of our offense to the skill set of our quarterback and how it's been successful in the past, i.e. like Nick Foles and now Jalen, and how when we kind of tried to mold Randall Cunningham into a situation similar to this, it didn't turn out so well.
Well, I mean, Chaz, just to use Randall for an example, Randall's an interesting one because obviously his athleticism was incredible when he was young, but then he was older and couldn't move, and he had an incredible season for the Minnesota Vikings with Billick and Randy Moss
they
and those guys.
They should have went to the Super Bowl.
They should have won. They were 15-1. Yeah. So, I mean, Chaz, that could happen. I mean, Russell Wilson evolved. Now, I mean, he's done now, but like he was more of a mobile runner. He's cooked now. But, like, he had a stretch where he's throwing 40 touchdowns and using his arm more than his leg. So, Chaz, that could happen. I mean, that does happen with some quarterbacks, for sure.
That's a development issue, though, isn't it? I mean, if you think about it, he has a proven skill set. We already won the Super Bowl. Why not just keep using that skill set? All right, be creative. Don't be vanilla. But use what the guy has. As soon as he stopped the threat of the run – the leverage of the offense changed. The eyes of the defense changed. Everything collapsed at that point.
It did change things, yeah.
Can I say this? No one in the organization is saying, Jalen, on third and short, don't run.
Yeah, you, right? You think Kevin Petullo with his job on the line was like, Jalen?
It's Draymond Green kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't run. That's a Jalen thing. That's something in Jalen's camp, something that he has decided to do within his team of people, that this is not the best thing going forward for my career.
But the Eagles need it. I mean, or they needed it this year. Chaz, good phone call. This segment brought to you by McGurk's Pub and Grill. If you're looking for a spot to catch the playoff action, make it McGurk's. All their locations have an awesome game day atmosphere. Check out their menu at McGurk'sPub.com. All right, Jason, we were throwing out some names earlier, and one name that I think is interesting is Todd Monken. What do you think of Todd? He's had an interesting career where he was with Jameis, he was with Baker Mayfield, then he went back to college, right? He was with Georgia, won a national title. Now he's been with Lamar, and I think Lamar's improved a lot under Todd Monken. I mean, he won an MVP before Todd, but then I thought that he went down a little bit, and then as a thrower, a pocket guy, yeah. I think he's improved a lot the last few years. Now, he may just follow John Harbaugh where he goes. Maybe this isn't available to us, but Todd Monken, your thoughts on him?
Yeah, he's one or two for me. Him and Daboll are one and two for me. Just because I think it, and I'm gonna give this a little bit of nuance, right? I think his ability to utilize the tight end position would cause the Eagles to want to keep Goddard, and I think that would be a good thing because now when you have Likely and you have Andrews, now you can see Kyle Kotera and Goddard start to be featured a little bit more, and it's less dependent upon A.J. Brown. And if you wanted to move A.J. Brown, Todd Monken is a guy that you should look for because the second and third receiver don't get as many balls anyway, and you can feature Devontae and still have the production along with the run game, along with that.
The way he did with Zay Flowers down in Baltimore, yeah.
Because anybody that's second in with Baltimore doesn't get the ball a bunch. So I like that. I like the heavy run. I like, you know, Lamar Jackson having a more of a play-action style. I love that. You get more open windows in the back end.
So Todd Monken is 59. When you think about this, because we were unpacking all the different elements of the coordinator search, do you think they should look for someone that might stick around?
Like, yes.
Okay, so 35-year-old, the guy we brought up from the Rams, right? He's probably on the fast track to being a head coach.
Yeah.
Gets here, does well, he's out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Todd Monken strikes me as the kind of guy, just where the league is going with younger coaches, he might never be a head coach.
He's like Stout. He's like Stoutland.
Yeah, he might just stick around.
Yeah, he's just a guy.
Just wanted happy to be here, just chilling.
He's just happy. He's going to go down to the shore in the summertime. Yeah. And chill and embrace it. Yeah, that's who you need. You need a guy that still wants to work, a guy that's still hungry, but is content and is not looking to be out of here tomorrow.
So over the next week or so, they're going to start these interviews, right? And in the backdrop of this, Jason, there's 9 head coaching openings, right? Mm-hmm. Some of these guys are also interviewing for head coach jobs like Stefanski and McDaniel. Yeah. Do you view this as a great job, or does it come with some, like, hey, if you don't perform, you're fired in a year?
Well, there's no job better than the Steelers. If I'm any coach,
you get 20 years,
dude. I'm playing. Look, you give me $2 million pay cut. You know,
yeah, like
you
just it's can't. Job security.
Like it's job security. I'm clamoring for the Steelers, so I don't think anybody's going to touch that. Or the Ravens. Like if the Ravens will keep you around a long time because that same mentality's there. Those two winning these organizations in their league. But I think the Eagles are very attractive job because the owner is willing to do whatever it takes. The fans are passionate. You have a good roster. You know that you have winning players. You have pieces. A lot of times with these coaching positions that you freaking go to Cleveland, you don't. They're so used to losing.
Yeah.
There's a structure here in Philadelphia where you know you're going to be in it. So that's attractive for a lot of coaches, and that speaks to longevity if you can, you know, weather the storm of the fans and the media and that type of stuff.
Hugh, what do you think on that? Is this an attractive job?
I think so. I think being in Philadelphia, but you have to be built for it. Because, you know, we was talking about Capri Pants, Mike McDaniel.
We're not sure about the Capri Pants.
Better than Capri Pants.
I don't think he's he's a Philly guy.
Yeah, because, you know, first of all, he's going to have to get over that stigma of Capri Pants. And then to come in and, you know, the scrutiny here is high.
Yeah.
It's very, very high. I don't think he's built for that. But I really don't.
I just don't think that Jalen fits his style there. I don't think coaches from that tree is going to help. I really don't. That's just mine. I believe Todd Monken will be a home run. I think Daboll will be a home run. I think Frank will be good. Cliff Kingsbury. I don't know. I don't know his adjustments.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know.
I like Kliff. The only thing, I mean, other than last year, most seasons his offenses start hot and fall
and
down. Fall.
And that's why I say his adjustments.
Yeah, right. It does feel like if we get him, I could see a big September, and then by December we're like, oh, what the heck happening? All right, before we say goodbye, Jason, your thoughts on what's left in the NFL postseason? So four matchups: Seahawks, Niners.
Seahawks. I think the Seahawks is going to beat the hell out of the Niners.
They're about to drag the Niners.
I feel the same way. Yeah, because might be out of gas.
They get more, and plus you lose Kittle. It's a bunch, but they get a bunch out of their defensive line, like sacks. They get a lot of production there, and that's something that we did not do enough of this past game, and there was multiple opportunities. And their secondary is way more disciplined when it comes to just overall. They're a little bit more disciplined. We got caught out of – we blew five coverages in that game. That cost us.
And the tackling in the secondary was bad.
Oh, man. Like, the blown coverages just bother me. We got two guys running to a flat. Now, Juszczyk is running out the backside for 40 yards. I'm like, dude, what the hell?
Yeah, it's terrible.
We never do this.
Rams, Bears. You met your family in Chicago. They're all fired up. That was a great game Saturday night. Now they have the Rams on Saturday, or excuse me, Sunday.
It's supposed to be, I think, maybe a snowstorm in Chicago. It may be. I'm not 100%.
It's going to be like a high of 18 degrees.
Advantage Bears?
Advantage Bears in that situation.
Did they win the game?
I'm not going against Matthew Stafford in that situation.
I can't either.
I look at it and I say, the Bears should win because of the conditions, but Matthew, in that situation, after last year's losing, and I think they'll be prepared.
It just feels like Seahawks-Rams feels like the title game. I mean, they've been the two best teams in the NFC all year. All right, AFC, let's start with Sunday, because Saturday, to me, is the marquee one. Sunday, Texans and the Patriots. That's a fun game.
I'm taking the Texans.
That defense is good.
I am taking the Patriots. Oh, my God. Like, the way he played nickel, dude, I enjoyed it.
I like that pass rush of the Texans.
Anderson,
And Danielle Hunter, they're really good. All right, so Saturday, I mean, the Broncos opened as an underdog at home as the team coming off the bye. And I get it. It's the Bills. It's Josh Allen. He was great again on this past Sunday. Bills or Broncos?
I think the Broncos are going to go down. At some point,
Josh can't go out like that, man.
The slipper has to go off for the Broncos.
Well, they win every game by like 3 points.
You can't keep doing that. It's going to catch up to you at some point.
Yeah, well, a lot of people think it's going to be the Buffalo Bills winning that game. Jason, we appreciate you hopping in.
As always,
have loved having the entire season. Great stuff today, man.
Thank you, guys. You guys are great. For Do That Dental, thank you guys for having me. I appreciate everyone there. And go Birds.
Go Birds. There he goes. Jason Avant. Wideout Wednesday with Jason Avant was brought to you by Walnut Street Smiles and Chestnut Dental Studio, part of the Do That Dental Group, official dentist of the Philadelphia Eagles. All right, all your phone calls coming up here. Plus, the latest on Bo Bichette and something the Mets are up to that we should be monitoring here. Maybe push the Phillies to go close this deal with Bichette. That's next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Oh, wait a minute, I got to read.
Sure
hey, the NBA season heated up, and so is Fanatics Sportsbook. Here's the deal, folks. You guys have heard me talk about fan cash. And remember, every time you bet with Fanatics Sportsbook, you're earning up to 10% fan cash, win or lose. So even if your bet misses, you're still stacking fan cash. Fan cash unlocks value you can get on from other sportsbooks like no other, like more bets, unlimited profit boost, and your favorite player props, authentic NBA gear, game tickets, and access to exclusive Fanatics events like Fanatics Fest in New York City. But that's not their only play, folks. The good times roll with Fanatics Fair Play, a protection policy that turns losses into wins. That's right. If you love player props, your legs are protected across the entire first half of every game if an injury takes place. Make the switch to the sportsbook that gives you more to play with.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.